Last time we began discussing the Isser of Kara Achas and Shulchan Echad, so we need to discuss a little bit more the parameters of Kara Achas. The Taz writes over here in Sifkat and Beis, Kishemesimin Kara imachasichos gedolos kederach shemesimin v'kedera. So if you have it's essentially a serving tray, and you have large pieces of food on the serving tray, we call Echa Notel Min HaKa'ara, and everyone takes from the serving tray, Umesim Lefan of Akli Miyuchad, and they put it on their own plate, the Ocho Misham, and eat from that plate, Ein Bazeh Iser, so that's not a violation of Ka'ara Achas, Kevin De Ein HaAchila Miyad Bilikichaso Mi Ka'ara Shalocha, because the Achila is not immediate, rather use another kli in the interim. So there's a discussion in the later Achronim what the thrust of the Taz's exclusion here is. You know, the Taz says that you take it from the original serving tray and you put it on another plate, on your own personal plate. So there is some gap between the original source plate and you're eating it. So how critical is the act of putting it on another plate per se? So in the Sefer Sugaba Shoshanim on page 35, he quotes three approaches here in the later Achronim to understanding this carve out of the Taz. So first he quotes from a Beis Yisrael and Be'er Mordechai, who understand that the Taz's requirement of putting it on your own private plate is li'ikuva. The thrust of the carve-out here is that you are taking it from the serving plate and putting it on your own plate. By putting it on your own plate, it is no longer connected to the original plate. But if you were to take it from the original plate and then eat it, or perhaps even put it on the table in front of you, or take butter from a serving dish and put that butter directly on your bread, then according to this first approach, that may be prohibited. And then he notes that the Sidrei Tara, in his citation of the Taz, Sidrei Tara here in Sifkat and Ches, when he quotes the Taz, leaves out the phrase that you put it on Kli Miyuchad. And the Taz only emphasizes the fact that there is a hefsek between the original serving tray and your eating, but does not mention that you put it on your own plate. So the Sugaba Shoshanim understands in the Sidrei Tara's presentation that what's critical is the element of hefsek. So it doesn't make a difference if you put it on your plate or if you put it on on the table in front of you, or perhaps even if there's a gap in time between your taking it off the serving tray and eating it, that would be a sufficient hefsek to allow for not violating the Isser of Ka'ara Achas. Might as well start just in case the back up. Okay. And then the third approach to the Taz, quoted in the Sugaba Shoshanim, is from the Sefer Prideya, that the Taz's emphasis is on creating a heker. That when the Taz says you take it off the serving tray and put it on your own plate, the thrust of that carve-out is that you're doing something in the non-standard way of eating. Or the non-standard way of eating Mikara Achas. So the Sugaba Shoshanim points out there are nafkaminas between these three approaches. So number one, is it sufficient to take it off a serving tray and put it on the table in front of you, not on a plate? So according to the first approach, that gives more credence to the existence of the plate, that's debatable. How dafka is your own private plate. According to the second approach, that what's critical is the hefsek. So that same hefsek is accomplished whether you put it on your own plate or whether you put it on the table in front of you. And according to the approach of derech, of heker, So then that may just depend on what the norm is. If the norm is you take it from the serving tray and put it right in your mouth, then putting it on the table in front of you would be a departure from the norm. If the norm would be to put it on the table in front of you, so then that is not a departure from the norm. So for example, he says, let's say you take a you have a fruit dish, and you have apples on the serving tray. So if the issue is hecker, so normally I take an apple off a serving tray and I eat it. So if I were to do that, that would be equally problematic. If the issue is hefsek, so again, if I take it and put it in front of me and then leave it, so maybe that's a hefsek. If I take and eat it right away, that would not be a hefsek. Yeah.
Especially if your wife like doesn't like that specific dish, that you can just.
You mean if only one person is taking from the serving tray? Yeah, so if she's not she's mesulak from taking from that serving tray, so that's definitely okay. The issue is if both people are taking from it together. Yeah.
According to those who say that if you're at a table with other people, that you don't require a hecker.
That's for shulchanecha, not for karachas. Right here we're talking about karachas, where hecker doesn't help. Okay. Now, Ramosha, as you probably saw, has a somewhat different approach to the notion of serving trays, which is both a kula and a chumra. Ramosha is found in Yeridea Chelek Aleph Simen Tzadi Beis. Chelek Aleph Yeridea Simen Tzadi Beis. According to Ramosha, the thrust of defining something as a serving tray or not is based on what's considered Derech Chiba. In what situation is it unique to a husband and wife to both and exclusively take from this dish? And what situations would the norm be for other people to take from the serving tray as well? So this can create both a relative kula and a relative chumra. So the relative kula would be you don't necessarily need another plate. If it's something where the norm is that multiple people would be taking from this serving tray. So then what's critical isn't whether or not you put it on your own private plate or even whether you put it on the table in front of you. You could take it and eat it directly as long as there's no derech chiba element. It's something that everyone takes. Everyone takes a fruit from the fruit platter. It's not something unique to a relationship between a husband and wife. So if even if the norm is you take a fruit from the fruit platter and eat it directly, because there's no chiva involved, that would be mutter. However, Rav Moshe has a tzad chumra as well, which is that... Oh, okay, so before that. So for that reason, based on this analysis, Rav Moshe thinks that mikra din, there shouldn't be a problem in taking from a common butter dish, because the norm is, nowadays I'm not sure how much of a norm there is. Has anyone ever take butter?
Like hotels.
Yeah, so I think it's less popular than it used to be. But
I'm
sorry?
Cream cheese container.
Cream cheese would be the same, okay.
No, I was saying the container itself. Like
right.
You're both taking from the container. Is there a difference between the dish and the container?
Is there a difference between a dish and a container? Maybe where the container is in the middle of the table, there shouldn't be a difference.
You're having
right.
breakfast or something, so you just put instead of you don't
right.
put it on the dish.
Right. So there should not be
right.
there should not be a difference. Correct. Right. So okay, good point. So it is relevant. Fine. So Rav Moshe says that me'ikar adin, there's no problem in both spouses taking butter from the common butter serving dish because there's no derech chiba there per se. And that is the norm for whoever's around the table to take butter from the butter serving dish, as opposed to that Beis Yisrael that the Sugah B'Shoshanim set quoted, who is mafmir on butter. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe writes, he thinks it's appropriate to be mafmir on butter for two reasons, which may be somewhat unique to butter, or the like. Number one, he suggests that even taking butter from a common serving dish is close enough to shiurei ma'achal, Nira Ktsas. Well, say the first reason first. First, he says that it's Nira Ktsas Kimikara Achas. That even though, technically speaking, it's not considered Kara Achas because it's something that's common that multiple people would take from, but it looks enough like Kara Achas that maybe we should avoid it. And then he's concerned about the possibility of coming onto Shiurei Macha, which we'll discuss a little bit later. But if you're going to take butter from the common dish, you may take too much, and then you may put it back on the serving tray, and that may lead to Shiurei Macha problems. So even though technically Nivra Din, Rav Moshe thinks that there's no problem in taking from a common butter dish, he thinks it's appropriate to be Machmir. I think many Achronim are Makel without qualification on the butter dish Shiloh. Rabbi Karp writes that that seems to be the consensus of Achronim and Poskim, and he quotes that from Yashiv as well, that there's no need to be Machmir on the butter issue. And he says, if one wants to be Machmir, ein maznichun oso. So you don't have to scream at him. But Rabbi Karp thinks that there's no need to be Machmir in that. That's Rav Moshe's consideration. But Mikra Din, Rav Moshe acknowledges that because there's no chiba per se involved in taking from a common butter dish, Mikra Din, that should not be problematic, should not be a violation of Kara Achas. Yeah.
There are a lot of dinner that are like that in Chachos Kiba. Like, I mean, in Karpatos, like,
right.
There's necessarily something sensual about, like,
all the standard harchakos have some, presumably some derechiba element, and the question is how far you take it. So, ein lenu lives or xeros meyaf meyaf. So we have what we have, and going beyond that, I mean, those are the two approaches that we started in our first year on whether it's appropriate to be machmir where you can, which was Ramosha's approach in this context and others, or the crazy places approach that if you're too machmir, and then it's going to have a boomerang effect. Okay. So that's Rav Moshe's kula. That which is not derechiba would not pose a problem with kara achas, even if you don't put it on the table in front of you per se. And then his chumrah is that if you have a portion, which is generally speaking a single person portion, that people would not typically share with anyone other than their spouse, so that would have a din of kara achas. So if you have a small roll or a can of soda, Rav Moshe thinks that a small roll or a can of soda are considered a single portion, and therefore to share that, not talking about shiurei machal or mashke, you have a roll in the middle of the table, and you cut the roll in half, and each person takes half, or you have a 12-ounce soda can, and one person pours 8 ounces into his cup, and she pours 8 ounces into her cup. That didn't add up, whatever. So that would be a... that would be a violation of Kara Achas. One second. So that's Rav Moshe's chumrah, because the way he sees it, this is something that is not normally shared between two people that are not husband and wife. Rabbi Forst, in a lengthy footnote, quotes Rav Moshe, and he says that no one else in the contemporary Sfarim says like Rav Moshe. It's a unique approach, and no one has this mahalach. In Rabbi Forsheimer's book, they quote, he says that even if you're going to be machmir like Rav Moshe, to view a small roll as a single portion that should not be split between husband and wife, but when it comes to Shalosh Shudas, where the norm is that you have small rolls for Shalosh Shudas or Lechem Mishnah, you cut them, so then it's definitely mutter even according to Rav Moshe. So, Hagufa, that should indicate that it's not a din in Shal Shudas. If there are times in which it is the norm to cut a roll and share it between more than one person, even if they're not husband and wife, so shouldn't that be an indication that it's not a single portion that is only shared between husband and wife? And you could argue the same thing when it comes to a soda can. Is that so unreasonable that two people who are not married would share the contents of a soda can? What do you say? I think so. And we have often we have meetings at the RCA and lunch meetings, and there are soda cans. So one person may open the soda can, pour half the contents into his cup, and leave it for the next person to pour the other half into his cup. And they're not married. So it's arguable that a can of soda is not necessarily a single portion that two people under ordinary circumstances wouldn't share. Okay, so. Gary. Good. I thought I might. So I didn't call you. Okay. So let's move on now to Shiurei Mashka and Shiurei Machal. So the Mechaber writes here in Sif Dalit, Lo Yishta Mishiurei Koz Sheshas Sahi, that a man should not drink from the Shirayim of his wife's cup. Where does this come from? Says the Beis Yosef already writes, most Rishonim do not have such an Isser. It's not in the Rambam, not in the Rashba, not in the Rush, not in many Rishonim. Where does it come from? It comes from a Sefer Yoreim. So the Hagos Maimini in Perikid Aleph Yisurei Bia Os Lamed, Hagos Maimini Perikid Aleph Yisurei Bia Os Lamed, quotes from the Yoreim that you're not allowed to eat from the Shiurei Kos that your wife already had to drink. Where does that come from? That comes from the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gimel, Tanit Ve'Elio, where the representation was achal imi v'shasa imi. That was inappropriate for this Tzorva Merabanan to be ochel with shosa with his wife. So the Yoreim understood from that Gemara that we're talking about shiurei hakos, that the husband drank from the leftovers in his wife's cup. The wife is formulated only as an iser for the husband to drink from his wife's cup, and not from the wife to drink from her husband's cup. So Beis Yosef writes that in this particular situation, we're more concerned that the hergel davar that would be in play if a husband were to drink from his wife's cup. And that's the nature of things. So says the Taras HaShlamim here in Sifkat and Zion. So says the Taz here in Sifkat and Hay. Right, the Taz, Vihi Mutaras Lishtos, Dehi Lo Margla Le La'Aveira. So that's only a one-way street. Okay, so that's the din of Shirei HaKos, as quoted here in Shulchan Aruch. Right, the body of Shulchan Sifkat and Samech doesn't only apply to a cup, it applies to a can as well, or a bottle. So if the wife starts drinking out of a can, so then the husband should not drink the remaining contents of that can because that is considered shiurei mashka.
Who said that?
Bali Shulchan. I don't think anyone argues. I think it's pashut. But if you want someone in print, Bali Shulchan writes that here in Sifkat and Samach. Rav Avadya has a fascinating kula, which I don't think is should be so broadly accepted or is. He writes in Yavia Omer Chela Ches Yoredeya Simen Yud Zayin Os Gimel. Yavia Omer Chela Ches Yoredeya Simen Yud Zayin Os Gimel. Ches Yud Zayin Gimel. Someone asked him, what about if you drink from a straw? So if the wife drinks from a soda can with a straw, can the husband continue to finish the contents of the can with another straw? What does Gary say?
Why isn't it like Karachas?
Why isn't it like Karachas? Good. It's not like Karachas because once one spouse is misalik from that Kaara, so then that's no longer Karachas. It may be Shirei, Machal, or Mashka, but it's not Karachas anymore. Karachas is they're both present.
But she, by Shirei, Machal also, if she goes away, then
that's fine. That's, we'll get to this last line of the Ramah here.
Right, so, okay.
Right? So, but here, so the question is here she's not going away. So is that Shirei, Mashka, if you're going to drink from another straw? So, you would all say...
Euclid.
What?
His straw and Euclid.
That's the Shaila. So, intuitively, you would probably say it's the same Isser. But Rav Avadya writes that since the whole Isser of Shirei Kos is Tali b'machlokes Rishonim anyway. Yemos Rishonim have no such yisur. So even though the Mechaber is machmir in Shulchan Aruch, but nevertheless, if you have another straw, that's enough of a hacker, that's enough of a shinoi. The fact that you're not using the same straw, that's enough of a shinoi, and therefore you can be makel. Okay. The Beis Yosef quotes Mordechai here, writes as follows. Amar Ravia, Nida Sheshasa Bekos, so Nida drinks from a cup, the Nishar Bo Tzas, and there's a little bit of liquid left in the cup, Halacha Kibalti Me Rabosai Leheter. So I have a tradition from my Rebbeim Leheter, De'ein Ze Shosa Ima Mamish. Because that is not Shosa Ima Mamish. So what does that sound like? What's the Mordechai saying?
You can refill the cup without washing it out.
Ooh, you can refill the cup. Who's talking about refilling the cup?
He could continue to drink from it.
He could continue to drink from it. Why can he continue to drink from it?
What's the cost?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Sounds like she's done.
Neither Shashasa of the coast, she drank from the cup, and there's a little bit left, that's okay. Meaning that formulation sounds like the Isser of Shire Kos is only where she may continue to drink from it. But if she's not drinking from it anymore, then there's no Isser. Meaning, essentially, there's no Isser of Shire Kos under normal circumstances. So that just fits in with many of the other Rishonim that have no such Isser. That seems to be how the Beis Yosef understood this Mordechai, but in the Mordechai Lefaneinu, there's a significant change in the Girsa. Mordechai Shluis Tav Shin Mem Gimel, Mordechai Shluis Tav Shin Mem Gimel. Our version of Mordechai doesn't say Halacha Kibalti Me Rebose Leheter, but rather V'Hochala. That if the Nida drinks from a cup and then she leaves, there's no violation of Shirei Hakos for her husband to drink the rest. And that's what's passing here in the Ramah. The Ramah writes here in Sif Dalet, V'im Shasasa Mikos, V'Hochala, she leaves, Yesh Omim Shamotir Lo Lishta Samosar, D'me'achar Shekvar Halka, Ein Kan Chiba. So that is essentially the Girtha Lefaneinu and the Mordechai. That a woman begins drinking from a cup and then she leaves. So the chiba factor is significantly mitigated, and therefore there's no isser of shiurei kos. The Bada Shulchan writes, I've got an ayin dalid, that you can even ask your wife to leave. You know, she started drinking from the cup, and you want to finish it. They say, I'd like to finish the cup, please leave. And the Bada Shulchan says, that's fully in the spirit of this Ramah, and that would be fine. Pesach Tshuva writes here in Sifkat and Zayin, quoting from a Tshuva's Yad Eliyahu, Im basa be'emsa mutter ligmor. So let's say she left and then she comes back. So she left, you start drinking her shiurei hakos, and in the middle she comes back. So the Yad Eliyahu writes, that is fine. V'chein v'pirsanida be'emsa achila mutter ligmor. So let's say, here he's talking about shiurei Ma'achal presumably as well, but let's talk about Shirei Kos, either way. So if you're eating her Shirei Kos, and at the time that you started, she was Tahora, and then she was Pure Sanita, like our Shaman discussed a couple times ago, if you throw something to her and she's Pure Sanita before she catches it. So if she's Pure Sanita while you're drinking, so that also would be acceptable. Okay, we'll come back to this Yad Eliyahu a little bit later. Okay, given that the Isser Shiur Yekos only applies to the husband drinking the Shiurim of the wife, but not the wife drinking the Shiurim of the husband. So Moshe writes in Chelik Bei Simen Pei Gimel, Chelik Bei Simen Pei Gimel, that this is the clear solution to any Kiddush problems. That how do you allow your wife to drink Kiddush when she's a Nida? Not a problem, says Rav Moshe. There's no Isser of Shirei Kos of the husband's wine. The husband drinks Kiddush, puts the cup down. He can't give it to her or send it to her. That's the issue of the Mishagri Kos, which we'll get to. He puts the cup down, and the wife can pick it up and then drink the rest of the wine. He can't have it afterwards, because once she drinks it, it becomes her Shirei Kos. But the husband makes Kiddush, puts the cup down, the wife takes it and drinks the rest of what's in the cup. And that solves any potential Kiddush problem. Avi.
According to the Moshe, if the wife would leave the room,
yeah,
the husband would be able to finish the Kos?
According to everybody, according to the Ramah. Yeah.
What was that?
Chelik Bei Simen Pei Gimel. Okay. Now the Ramo wrote here in the end of Seif Gimel, Yesh Omrim, She'asir lo lechol mishiyurei machol shelah. That it's prohibited for a husband to eat from the shiyurei machol of his wife. K'mo she'asir lishtos mishiyurei kos shelah. Just like he's not allowed to drink from her shiyurei kos. A little bit curious why the Ramah's Hagah is on Sif Gimel before we even got to the din of Shirei Kos and on Sif Dalet. I saw someone in the later Sfarim just over this. I'm not sure. But whatever the reason is, the Ramah writes in the end of Sif Gimel that just like there's an Isser of Shirei Kos, there's an Isser of Shirei Machal. Where does that come from? So in the Darkei Moshe, he quotes this position from Kuntresim, whoever the Kuntresim are. Where does that come from? So if you look in the Beir Agra here, Sivkat and Yod, same Gemara on Shabbos. Achal imi v'shasi imi. So if the reason we ask if Shirei Hakos is because of that Gemara, so why should Shirei Machal be any different? Achal imi v'shasi imi. In the same breath, the Gemara says the problem was achila and shasi, and there's no indication that one of them is necessarily more problematic than the other. Yoni.
Didn't you say that the only reason why I explained shasi to him is because it's impossible to say shasi mean like achalim? If achalim we understand, shasi we don't understand, must be shasi meaning zachar.
Good, okay, so Aruch HaShulchan says like that, others say like that, good. But the Gaon apparently didn't understand that way, or at least understood that the source of this minug is an interpretation of the Gemara that equates achila v'shasiyah. Good. Now the Shach assumes here in Sivkat on Ches that there's no reason to distinguish between achila and shasiyah, and he says achila should be even more problematic. Adarab shasiyah nilma me'achila. That if anything, the original Isser, or the more intuitive Isser, should be Achila. And should see if anything is derived from Achila. Now, the Sidri Tara is not so convinced about why this is a pasha to the Shach. Sidri Tara in Sivkat and Ches, he points out, number one, the Beis Yosef quotes in the Badak Abayis from the Orchos Chaim, who writes explicitly that there is an Isser of Shirei Kos, but there's no Isser of Shirei Machal. So you have at least a Rishon that explicitly distinguishes between the two. So you can't argue necessarily that any Rishon who says there's an Isser of Shirei Kos obviously extends it to Shirei Machal, because you have at least one Rishon that explicitly does not. And then he says, logically, you could well understand how there is more chiba involved in shirei kos and shirei machal. Machal, sharing a drink, is a more intimate act than sharing food. The Aruch HaShulchan writes this as well. The Aruch HaShulchan here in Sif Yud Beis. Writes that Shirei Kos is definitely more Derechiba than Shirei Machal. V'od Yadua, the Hiskarvus Benoka Olam Bishasios below Achilas. If people come close to each other, that's done through Shasia and not through Achila. V'yayin Samach Levavenosh, Levavenosh. Aye, the Gemara in Shabbos. So all that means, Achalimi, all it means is Karachas. As Yoni said, Shasi means Shirei Kos, because what else could it mean? But Achalimi means Karachas. So the Aruch HaShulchan isn't convinced that just because it's an Isser of Shirei Kos, it would necessarily extend it to Shirei Machal. The Taz writes over here, the Taz in Sifkat and Dalid, that whatever kulos we have for Shirei Kos do apply to Shirei Machal as well. So the kula of the Ramah of leaving the premises, or the other kula of pouring into another utensil. So just as that applies to Shirei HaKos, that should apply to Shirei Machal as well. What about Shirei toothpaste? So the Badr Shulchan writes, Sifkata Nun Gimel, Shevet Alevi as well, that there's no problem of Shirei toothpaste. Not food. We don't find that this Isser extends beyond food. What does Svarim do? So Shirei Machal does not make it in the Mechaber, only in the Ramah. So Ravadi writes in on page Kuf Kafei that the minhag of Eidot Mizrach is to be makel about Shirei Machal. Sounds like even Lechachila. Ben Ishai was Machmir, maybe that was a minhag in Iraq, in Bavel, but the general minhag of Eidot Mizrach, Ravadi writes, is to be makel on Shirei Machal. So then, in that same shuba we cut it earlier, Chelechas Yud Zayin Gimel, he says, how do you define machal? What about a arctic or ice cream? Is that machal or is that mashka? Hilchas Brachos Shailo. He says, if it's an arctic, so then you should definitely be machmir. That if your wife starts eating, you shouldn't eat the rest of it, because that's definitely derechiba. You never share a popsicle with someone other than your wife. But ice cream, if it's ice cream in a dish, ice cream in a spoon, so maybe that would be mutter to finish up the ice cream dish. Because even if you have a different sakon luchos brachos, but anyway, it may not have the same definition for Hilchos Harachakos. Okay. That's only for Sephardim. Rabbi Karp has an interesting perspective on some of these halachos. In his Bir Halacha, Sifkatin Yud Gimel, and Sifkatin Yud Dalet. The Beis Yosef had a line here regarding Shirei Kos that... that we have the practice of rinsing out a cup between her drinking and his drinking. Umina kasher. So what is that based on? Rinsing out the cup. So if there's nothing left in the cup, so then what is rinsing it out? Why is rinsing it out necessary? If there is something left in the cup, once you rinse it out, it won't be left in the cup anyway. So what does rinsing out a cup accomplish? So Rabbi Karp suggests that there are certain details in Hilchos Harachos that are based on Hilchos Tuma Vitara. They may still have a Derech Chiba component, but fundamentally they're originally based on Hilchos Tuma Vitara. So he points to a line in... the Sefer Ora and the Sefer Pardes Amyuchas Arashi, where the Sefer Ora, Hilchas Nida, writes as follows. Kalim Shanida Nogas Behen. So Kalim that Anida touches. Bisman Azeh Tahorin Hein Eitzel Bailas. And nowadays, where we're not Machbid Atum V'Tara, there's nothing wrong with a husband touching Kalim that his wife touches. Sharei b'nei adam shebizman hazeh mitamin b'kvaros v'ol ameis b'sharitz v'meis, we're not makbid on taras anymore. So there's nothing wrong with touching a kli that your wife who's in need to touch. Aval machmirin anu alas menu ve'ein anu ochlin b'kara achas. But even though we're makil on touching a kli, we're still machmir on kara achas. Below Mishiure Machala, Ramachmer and Shiure Machal. Below Yoshud al Moshav, Ramachmer not to sit on her bed. Below Makablin Klo Miyada El Ideacher, and we don't cast things. Vinosin Anu La, Ka'ara Umid Pachas, Vistinin, Vikara Muksasos, Lishdamish Behen Bimenidusa, and we give her her own utensils, blankets, mattresses for Yimenidusa. And then, when she becomes Torah, then she washes those garments that are blankets that have kesem. The others you don't have to do kibbutz on; it's enough to do hadacha. So there's a very strong connection in this formulation, let's say for Ora, between things that are Mishum Toma and the Harchokas that we have. It sounds like the Harchokas that we have fundamentally are Toma related. They're more minimal than what we would be Noheg if we were Noheg Toma. And there's also a component of Chiba as well. So Rabbi Karp suggests that this Hadaka fits into this scheme, that the notion of rinsing out a cup between her shisiyah and his shisiyah, that's taurus related. That's not a derech chiba consideration per se, but it's fundamentally taurus related. So there may be certain taurus underpinnings in some of the details of the harchakos, even if there are derech chiba hergaladeira considerations as well. He says that's also how you can well understand the din like the Yad Eliyahu that we quoted before. That if a woman is pirsa nida before you drink her shiure kos, so that's not a problem, because in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, that's obviously not a problem. There's no tumah involved in something that she drank or came into contact with before she was pirsa nida. So even though there are hergal adeira considerations, but they may be somewhat modified, both modified and enhanced, depending on your starting point and your perspective, based on original Tumah V'Tahara considerations. That's an interesting perspective behind some of these halachos, but the connection does seem to be very clear in those citations from Beis Midrasho Shel Rashi. Okay. Sif Hei. So Mechaber has over here, Lo Yeshe B'mita Miuchedus La'afilu Shalom B'faneh. A person should not sit on his wife's bed, even not in her presence. Because Yehuda says, if she's not in the city, that's okay. But if she's around somewhere local, it's usher. So where does this come from? So the Beis Yosef quotes this from a Rashba. The Rashba says, Usher Lishan B'mita Miuchedus La. You're not allowed to sleep on her bed. Kavachomer from Atzas Amita. So we'll see later in the Siman, the Gemara in Ksuba Samach Aleph, that a wife is not allowed to make her husband's bed in an intimate way. Bimei Nidusa. So if she's not allowed to make his bed, then obviously she's not allowed to sleep. He's not allowed to sleep in her bed. Now, the Rashba's formulation was Asher Lishan, and the Mechaber writes Lo Yeshet. If you look in the Taz here, Sivkat and Vav, he quotes in the Bach, that you could be mako on yeshiva based on the Rashba, but the general consensus of the later Achronim is that we're mafmir on yeshiva as well as the formulation of the Shulchan Aruch has it. So the issur does not only apply to laying down, but applies to sitting up as well. The Rama writes in Sif Vav, Afilo Yeshu Kol Echad Matzah B'fnei Atzmo. Well, so the Chavar writes in Sif Vav, Lo Yishad Ima B'mita, Afilo Kol Echad B'bigdo V'ein Ogin Zebeth. Rama, Afilo Yeshu Kol Echad Matzah B'fnei Atzmo, even if they both have their own mattress, but it's on the same base, that's Aser. The Afilo Im Shochvim B'beis Mitos, V'yad Mitos Nogo Zubazo Aser. Even if they're on two separate beds, but the beds touch, that is usher as well. So what is the gather of beds touching? So the Baal Shulchan writes here in Tzivkazim Kuf Tes, quoting something attributed to the Arizal, that the blankets should not touch each other. Not just the beds or the mattresses shouldn't touch, but the blankets shouldn't touch. So if they're blankets that go to the side of the bed should be far enough that the blankets don't touch. That's what Rabbi Willett says is the appropriate shear for separation of beds. In the Sefer Om Ani Choma, Shuvas of Mordechai Gross, Avdezin of Chanicha Yeshivos in Bnei Brak, Shuvas Om Ani Choma, Chelek Beis Simen Reish Kaf, he references a takana of the Gedolei Yisrael in some rabbinic convention in Lemberg in 1928. So this is the first I heard about this. This Sion was quoted in a footnote in the Rabbi Forshiner Sefer. So I looked up this Om Ani Choma inside. I was previously unfamiliar of this rabbinic conference of 1928, but apparently it was a rabbinic conference in 1928 attended by the Belzer Rebbe, who was quoted, in which they established that you need to have a separation of one amma between beds. Now, 1928 was before the Chazon Ish's Shirim came out and Rav Chaim Noah's Shirim came out, so I don't know what they meant by an amma, but whatever an amma is, they said you have to separate beds by an amma, apparently. So that is very possibly a larger distance than the separation of blankets. I don't know too much about the history of this takana, but the Belzer Rebbe apparently was involved. So.
Was it like an issue then?
I'm sorry?
Was it like an issue?
Was it an issue in the 1920s? I don't know. I don't know. I have to ask the historians. Rabbi Eider quotes here in Reish Samach Dalid, Rav Vosner has this in the name of the Chazon Ish, that the Isser Negiyas Hamitos only applies if she is in her bed. Maybe beds can't touch if both spouses are in their beds. But if only one spouse is in the bedroom and the other one somewhere else, so then there's no Isser of Negiyas Hamitos. You still can't sleep on the other spouse's bed, but the beds could touch. Okay, I think we'll stop here for today. And for next time, we will discuss the Rama here in Sif Hei of Safsal Hamis Nadedes. And then we'll move on. Very possibly to finish the simon next time.